Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, good morning. It is wonderful that we do have a living hope today, and that great is His faithfulness. What a wonderful reminder this morning. It is the first Sunday of a new year, so hopefully at this point in the year, you can say that you're having a better year so far than last year. Hopefully, just a few days, right? But we have all gone through quite an experience last year that most of us never would like to repeat. Think about it. Last year started with swarms of locusts in East Africa, more than they had seen in decades. We had the infamous murder hornets that were now found in the United States that seemed terrifying at the time. We had wildfires out west that were the worst that they have ever seen, as well as the Black Lives Matter movements and all the protests, the unrest, the division that we have seen within our country this year. And of course, all to top it off with a very wild presidential race at the end of the year that over $13 billion was spent on that election alone, more than twice the previous election. Maybe your candidate won, maybe he didn't, but either way, it has been a roller coaster watching this whole thing play out. Now, as you think back to 2020, does that really cover the gist of most of it? Is that a good summation of 2020? Did I miss anything? Which was what? COVID. Just happened to be a global pandemic last year. A pandemic where people in leadership were making large-scale decisions based on very limited information that they had never seen or experienced before, trying to figure out how do we move forward, not just nationally, but globally. And of course, that sparked all kinds of things, a huge drop in the stock market, as well as a recovery. Unemployment hit record lows, and over a month, 22 million people filed for unemployment, which is more than the population of Chile. Huge, huge swings in our nation. But if that one really isn't enough for you, the really big one that you probably remember this year is the great toilet paper panic. All right? So the question is, can it get worse in 2021? Absolutely. What if we lost all the toilet paper? I mean, we've really got to be practical here when it comes to this next year. It could get worse. Well, we've had all kinds of things to make us uneasy this year. But in light of all that's happened around us nationally and globally, we've still had things happen to us in our personal lives. There has still been sickness. There has still been deaths. There's been ups and downs in marriages and relationships that you have, all in the midst of this unsettling dynamics that were going on around us that seem to be constantly changing day by day, sometimes minute by minute. But while all that was happening, there was one thing that drastically changed. We had the opportunity of more time at home. See, when COVID hit, everything that was normally on your calendar pretty much got sliced to nothing. And you were left with more time, regardless of what you did with it, you were left with more time. For some, that has been an extremely positive experience, that there are positive things that have come out of 2020. They've gotten to spend more time with their children. They've gotten to spend more time with their spouse. Maybe they've had more time to just be alone and be able to reflect on where is my life going and where are we headed. And maybe it's just been an opportunity to get away and to be able to enjoy a hobby that has been put away for some time. But we also recognize while there was positives for some families, there was also a negative side to people being at home. Some people felt much more isolated and alone than they have ever felt before. Sometimes with all of the things that can be hidden maybe in a relationship with a really full and busy schedule, all of a sudden when you are home and you don't have anything to do, sometimes those cracks that are there all of a sudden start to become more visible. And that is sometimes very difficult to be able to acknowledge that those things are actually going on. But what is certain is that regardless of where you were at this time last year in January 2020, we still face a very uncertain future. Maybe last January you felt like there were a few more things that are under control, or a few more things that you thought you could expect would happen. But what this year has begun to teach us is that we can't take that for granted. Yeah, everybody, the words that I hear is, when are we going to get back to normal? Well, maybe we've abandoned that. When are we going to get to a new normal, some routine, some kind of thing that I can begin to anticipate, this is what's going to happen next week, this is what's going to happen next month. But the reality, what has 2020 has exposed, is that when we think that we are in control, we've gotten a hard dose of reality and a great smack in the face that things can dramatically change that you have absolutely no control over. So this year in 2020 has been very daunting. But we hope that there has been positive things for you, because it's really easy to get swept into all of the craziness of the circumstances that are going on around us, and that our moods change when things change, when circumstances are going on around us, or we're just really overwhelmed with all that we are holding on to in the midst of that. Well, thankfully for you and I as Christians, we do have a living God and His Word to cling to no matter what circumstances are going on in our life or all around us. But it might not tell us the cure for COVID-19. It does give us everything that we need to know to live a life of godliness. So the question is, as we talk about and review last year and where we have been, has that still stayed your primary focus? Have you fallen into this trap of now becoming reactive to all these things that are going on around us? Or have you been able to say, there is a steady anchor here that I've been able to cling to? So over the last few months, we've been studying 2 Timothy. We've taken a break for a couple weeks over Christmas, and Rance came back to it last week. And so as we, this Sunday, our first Sunday usually in January is a little bit of a different service. Because every year as elders, we get away in November, we have a retreat, and part of that retreat is spent asking God, what is it that we want God to do in this church body in the next year? And so we have a time of reflection and evaluation of what God has done in the last year, and what is it that we are asking Him together as a body to do for us. And so we always take one Sunday and we look back over the last year. We look back at those prayer requests. They've been on the back of your bulletin every week. To look and to see how has God answered those things, even in the midst of a global pandemic. And then we take some time to ask you to pray with us this next year. And again, we're going to have 4 very specific prayer requests that we want you to join with us in. But what I want to do this morning is I want to go back to the letter of 2 Timothy, where Paul is writing to his son in the faith. Paul is in prison, scheduled for his execution, not sure if he's ever going to see Timothy again, but hopeful that he will get to see Timothy again. But he has written him a letter in case that doesn't happen and encourages him to come quickly in the midst of this. And I want to go back to the very first chapter of where we started out in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is going to kind of be our outline for our time together this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing I remember you, he's specifically talking about Timothy here, in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Let's pray, and we're going to unpack this a little bit as we reflect on last year and look forward to 2021. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together corporately as a body to study your word. Father, we pray that you will help us to be able to practically apply the things that we find in your word. And Lord, we pray that in this next year that our faith would continue to grow in our trust of who you are. Father, that as we look back on 2021, that we would see a genuineness in our faith and a depth of our faith that maybe we have never experienced before. So, Father, I pray for our time now together around your word as we reflect on what you have done and look forward to how we can partner with you in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we first of all stop to take time to remember. What has God done? How has God answered prayers that we have been asking of him in this last year? And what you'll find is that in our prayer request, we have kind of different categories of prayer. We have a prayer for what do we want God to do with individuals within the body. We have a prayer for what we want God to do corporately together. And then we have a prayer of what we want God to do through us to the community and outside to the world around us. Is usually how it is focused. So this morning we're going to take time to remember. So these prayer requests are not on the back of your bulletin. On the back of your bulletin, you'll see the new prayer requests that we're going to talk about in just a minute. But these are the ones that we have been praying for in the last year. Our 2020 vision prayers were that we would see, number one, individuals have a Christ-centered identity and purpose. You see, our first prayer is focused on individuals becoming whole. That is God's greatest desire for each of his children. That is our greatest desire as a church, is that we will grow in him. So we're not going to spend time today going over a list of every individual that we have seen this happen in this last year. But as elders, we do talk about how are we praying for one another and what is going on in individual lives to be able to see, is God actually doing this? And we can certainly affirm that God has done this in individual lives in this last year. And we understand that because this prayer was twofold. Number one, that individuals would have a Christ-centered identity, that they would understand who they are in Christ more than anything else, that their worth and value does not come from what they do or what they have accomplished, but by simply what their Father says about them and how he values them, not based upon your performance, but he values you for who you are, his child. So that is important because out of that relationship, we recognize everything else should flow as a Christian. We're not here to try to appease God, but we're here to recognize who we are in Christ, and then out of that identity, to live with purpose. And that's been really fun because as a result of that identity, we know individuals that have sought to determine God's purpose not only overall in their life, but what is God's purpose now for my family? How do I parent? What is God's purpose now for my marriage? What is it going to have to change in me for me to be able to model what Christ love, what Christ wants me to do as a spouse? And then not only that, some of it has been now with my job. How do I take God's purpose and desires for me, and how do I apply that daily in my workplace? Or maybe other decisions that you have faced throughout this year, that you've sought after and said, God, this is what I'm facing. Where are you at in this process? So how about you? As you look back over 2020, have you changed spiritually? Has this been a part of your DNA? Have others seen this drive in your life that your value comes from who you are in your Father, and that it's his purposes that dictate my decisions, what I do, how I live, the things that I say, every part of my life? If that is true, you are a part of the answer to this prayer. If God has been at work in your life, that's part of what we are asking God to do. This is what he wants to do, and we're simply affirming, Lord, this is what we want to see in this church. So that's been our greatest prayer in 2020 for individuals. Secondly, we prayed for the body as a whole, that we would see intentional Christ-centered relationships be established and strengthened. That we recognize, in the midst of a global pandemic, relationships were a little difficult and a little strained, right? Some people sought to minister to other people by just calling them on the phone, checking on them. Some people started writing letters again just to encourage people to know you're thought of. We haven't forgotten you. We still have members of this church that have not felt comfortable to come back to meet here in person, but they are still very much a part of our body. And so we don't want people to be forgotten in the midst of this global pandemic. And the reality is, maybe you've gotten much more comfortable with technology and video conferencing in a way that you never anticipated before. I was looking at some statistics saying that in a four-month time span, Zoom went from 10 million users to 300 million users from December of last year to April of last year. That's a huge swing in our culture. That's so much, whether that was work, whether that was personal. All of a sudden, we recognized, you know what? There's a lot of things that are expressed in a facial expression. I feel more comfortable and connected with somebody when I can see them face to face than when I just hear their voice on the telephone. So we've had to get creative with this dimension of intentional Christ-centered relationships to be established. But we recognize that what is easy is I tend to fall into relationships and patterns with people that are like myself, that have the same hobbies. We have the same interests. We read the same kind of books. We like to do the same activities. And yet our prayer as a church is that relationships would be cross-generational and would connect people that don't just have common things together, but that that commonality would be Christ. That because of our relationship with Christ, we want to get to know one another. We want to get to know what's happening in one another's lives. We want to get to know how we can encourage and equip you individually. But that takes time, and that takes effort. But we also saw this prayer being answered through different ministries that have actually started in this last year. You see, we've started the Women's Renew Fellowship on Sunday nights that is intentionally centered around this idea as well. That women would know and understand their identity in Christ, and that they could come together with other women and be able to share, these are the struggles that I'm having, and be able to identify and to help one another to work through those struggles together. But that takes a trust and a level of relationship to feel comfortable to open up in that way. But that is certainly an answer to this prayer. One of the things that we have prayed for some time as elders is the idea of life groups. We really kind of struggle with how do we help to facilitate this idea among the church body? Because all relationships take time. There is no short circuit process to this. So how do we facilitate and give opportunity for people to get to know one another in a deep way? And I would encourage you, if you have not checked out a life group, please contact one of the elders. It is not too late to sign up for that. Because that is an intentional place where you can be able to share things that are going on. It gives you opportunity to get to know people in a way that you don't get to know them just passing them, coming here to worship on Sunday. So life groups were a direct result of this prayer. We also saw things like the men's ministry camping trip that we do every fall. We had our largest group ever out on Hazel Creek this year. But all of it is how do we give opportunity and time to be able to connect relationally with other people within the body that is more than just a passing, just that our lives are just passing. So please consider joining one of the life groups. The teens have also incorporated this same thing. They're doing life groups on Sunday night because what they recognize is we're doing a lot of activities together, we're having a lot of fun together, but how do we intentionally create environments where we can get to know one another personally? So this idea of life groups directly came from this prayer that we have been asking, and how can we be a part of establishing Christ-centered relationships, that they would new relationships would begin, as well as relationships that have existed, that they would be able to be deeper together. That is certainly our prayer together as a church. Our third prayer was that we would see Christ-centered outreach in our community and beyond. So that we are not just here focused on the members of First Baptist Church or the visitors here of First Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what God is doing in your life impacts everyone that you come in contact with throughout the week. And that there are times where God will take individual members within this body and he will send them elsewhere. And so one of the things that we got to see this year was JC coming home after 2 years working with Crew at UNC Chapel Hill, seeking to minister to ladies that were going through very difficult times through the college years. So after fulfilling her 2-year commitment, we're very grateful that she was willing and able to come back and to be here and now works with the youth. But those are part of what we do as a church of how do we partner with individuals that say, I feel like God's asking me to do this, and I want to be able to minister to others. And so that was a special way that we got to join with JC. But in the midst of this pandemic, we also had just simple things of when all of this first happened, the school, one of the first things they were worried about is, how do we feed students? We do recognize this is a very difficult thing if students are not going to be able to come back to school. And so we had multiple people in the church that said, look, if you bring the food to the church, we would love to be able to hand that out and just to encourage people. So we had opportunities like that to be able to minister to our community, as well as one of the things that one of our members was a part of. There was a grant that was secured by the North Carolina Baptist Association that allowed produce boxes to be delivered to Graham County. 250 produce boxes have been coming almost weekly since COVID happened, and we got to be a part of helping to be able to distribute that. Now, those boxes are now being provided by a government-funded program, but it's an opportunity to reach out to our community to say, you're not alone in this. And that was really special because we were only one of nine counties in the whole state of North Carolina that got that. And so that was a wonderful way that we got to be able to minister to our community and beyond. One of the unique things as we look back over this last year was to recognize how God had prepared us in certain ways to be able to minister to people through our online platform. We have been preparing a year in advance in securing the funds to be able to start to broadcast online. We had a young man that gave many hours to completely rebuilding the website so that it was user-friendly, so that as people were looking to be able to worship when their church didn't have internet access or were not meeting in person, that we could still be able to encourage them with the Word of God. And that has been such a blessing that God has provided individuals that actually know what to do and what programs to work on and what equipment to have to be able to allow us to be able to minister in that way. So that has been a special answer to that prayer. And the last one that I want to focus on specifically with this is the church rallied behind two young men that have felt like God is calling them into full-time ministry. So we've been doing this apprenticeship program now since last August. And that comes at a significant cost to the church because we wanted to partner with them to let them know that we support them in this. But this has been a big deal. For these guys, they have gotten to see behind the scenes of everything that goes on at the church. They've been a part of elders' meetings. They have done an absolute ton of reading. So if you're looking for a good book, just go ask them one of the ones that they've read and see if you would like to join in that with that reading. But every week, they're reading books. They're giving reports on it. We meet together weekly to figure out what are you seeing? What are you learning? What's God showing you about what he has gifted you in? Is your passion still the same now that you see more of the ins and outs of what's going on? Is God directing you in a very specific way? We don't know where God is going to send these two young men. But we are excited that we have individuals within this church that have said, I feel like God is calling me to full-time ministry. How do I get there? What do I do? And this has been a long training process that they have been going through well before the apprenticeship program even started in August. Then our last prayer request for 2020 was last January, we put out an idea of starting a building project. Okay, that's very normal in a pandemic, right? I mean, everybody builds. This is the time to do it. When the stock market is crashing and everything is going on, let's raise funds for a building. And yet, what has been amazing from the very beginning, because our prayer was not just for the building, but that it was as a body that we would be together and unified on this decision. And everything that happened in that meeting and the questions and the dialogue that we had about going forward, there was unanimous approval on every front to be able to go forward in this way. We received as a church a large donation, over $185,000 a long time ago. And, you know, if you've been in churches and the subject of money has come up, maybe there's been some tension. I don't know. Maybe just a few of us have experienced that tension. But to see that kind of money be presented to say, hey, is this a wise decision? Should we put this to the Life Center? And there be complete unanimous approval of absolutely. And not a large discussion, not arguments, no fighting over it. That's what we were asking. Lord, people are more important than the building. We're not just here to build more facilities, but if we are going forward together, we want to be together in this process. And so we got to see that our faith and unity was strengthened as we pursued the Life Center. So, and in the midst of a global pandemic, we have been able to give, just from our general fund in the last year, almost $60,000 toward the project toward the capital development fund for that building. That is a significant, I don't know if you capture that, but in the midst of a pandemic, God is taking care of every one of our needs in regards to the budget. And we're not at the bare bones right now in our bank account. And he has provided over $60,000 from that toward the building fund. So that now at this point, we're almost two-thirds of our way as far as to our goal of what we need for this life center. God has done very special things. And if that wasn't enough, just the tip of the ice, you know, just to throw one more thing out there, this year we were blessed because Snowbird community was destroying their gym just a few weeks ago. And as a result of that, we happened to get a call and to say, hey, you know, if you would like anything in this gym, you're welcome to it. So, you know, we put a call out at the last minute. A bunch of guys volunteered to come out. We got bleachers. We got scoreboards. We got basketball goal supports. You know, things that we will need when we go to build the Life Center, but provided in a way that is very unusual and not like anything that we were normally counting on. So God does special things in the midst of these kinds of projects, but it always goes back to the heart of individuals and that we're not here to ram something and push somebody in a direction that they don't want to go. The individual is still the focus, even in a building project. So we've been excited about what God has done in the midst of that prayer this last year. But now let's turn our attention. That's just some of the things. That's not a whole list of everything that God has done in the last year, but that's some of the things that God has done in this last year. But this is what we would like you to be praying with us in 2021. And that focal point is this idea of faith, is the theme that you're going to see. Now, in verse 5 of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, I'm thankful when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. And he recognized that faith was also present in Timothy's mom and his grandmother, but that there was a distinctive about that faith. And so throughout this next year, we're going to be exploring this topic in a few different ways. One of those, we're going to have a series throughout this summer in Hebrews chapter 11, which sometimes is referred to as the Hall of Faith. That this picture of all these individuals in all different kinds of circumstances that have said, I will choose to put my faith in the living God, even when everything around me seems to be in chaos. So we're excited about studying those examples that God has given us in Scripture. But how do you explain faith to someone? What does that look like? One of the things I was thinking about this as we think about this topic. How many of you love to be in a hammock? Just love it. So relaxing. How many people are absolutely terrified of hammocks? Okay? So it's one of those things that, you know, look, you have one bad experience in a hammock, and you might never forget it, right? In fact, my poor wife, when I first got my hammock, I promised her, over and over and over, it's safe, just trust me, just sit in it. What happened? Rope broke the very first time. So, you know, it's really fun because now, you know, I've learned a little bit more about how to keep it secure, but it never fails that when she goes to sit in this hammock, it's very slow, it's very cautious, and any noise that comes out of that hammock puts her on edge, right? When it comes to faith in God, it's this idea of complete trust. And it's this idea of being completely at ease and relaxed in a hammock. You see, you could try to prove to me all day that the weight rating and all this stuff will support me. And that's knowing information about the hammock. But faith is actually putting all of my weight into that hammock. Now, this idea of faith is what we want to see God grow in us this year. Because the challenge is, if you've been in a hammock, you're relaxed, and somebody comes up and tries to shake that, I mean, immediate panic. You know, you don't have a lot to grab onto. And we've all seen the videos of people flipping upside down in them, landing face first down on the ground. You know, that sounds like a lot of fun. But it's this idea of, do you trust me? Will you put all of your faith in God and God alone? It's not a, well, I'm kind of trusting God, but I do have one leg out on the ground just in case everything gives way. It is this idea of completely stretching out and completely relaxing and being at ease, not in what I bring to this relationship with God, but in who he is, what he has done, and what he has promised. And that's the idea of faith that we're going to be building on this year. So here's our prayers for 2021. We got really cool magnets. So if you want to put these on your fridge so you can remember them on your way out, we have magnets for you guys, or they're posted to the bulletin every week. But number one prayer in 2021, that God will establish individuals in their faith and will equip them to serve through love. So number one, our prayer and hope is that people will come to faith in Jesus Christ. That salvation and the gospel message is very simple. You put your trust or faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that alone. It's not kind of part of what I'm doing to hopefully get me to heaven. It is, I am resting completely in that and that alone for my salvation. So we want individual relationships to be, or individuals to be established in their faith, but that also carries us with this idea of that they can be confident, so confident in their faith, that if somebody comes up to them and says, how do I have that kind of a relationship with God the Father? You don't have to say, hold on just a minute, I can call my pastor, he can meet with you, this will not be a problem. That you can say, let me tell you what he's done in my life, that I know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So when 2 Timothy is over, we're actually going to have a series leading up to Easter that's going to talk about, can we be sure of our salvation and what the Bible claims to be true? We're going to look at some of the prophecies in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the life of Christ, that you, we want you to be confident in your faith in Jesus Christ and that alone for salvation. But we don't want it to stop there. That's not the end goal of just salvation, but we want you to be equipped then to serve others through love, to help them as you walk by faith, that you will help to equip them in their walk with God, whatever stage they may be in. So that is our desire for all individuals. But then our prayer together as a body is that God will expand our faith as a family of believers. And this carries with the idea of, how hard does the hammock have to be shaking before you panic to try to reach out and support yourself? The goal is that as God gives us opportunities in our life, that our faith will continue to grow, that it will take more and more big things for us to try to reach out to support ourselves, but that we will just stay cradled in that hammock. God, I'm trusting you. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what the end result is going to be. But here I am, fully relying on you and you alone. Because there's this interesting passage in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, for in it, talking about the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now this phrase is interesting because this idea that God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith literally means that I see God when you are living out your faith. I see God when I see you walking and trusting in him and demonstrating his character to everyone that you are around. You see, that I can feed off of that. That's an encouragement to me when I see you choosing to walk by faith. And so this idea for this prayer request, that God would expand our faith as a family of believers, that is that as we're on this journey together, when you're living out your faith, you're an encouragement to other people, and that we will be able to feed off of that this year. And as a result of that, God will expand our faith and our ability to trust him as a whole family of believers together. Then number three, we pray that God will use us to do this same thing, to establish, equip, and expand the faith of others throughout the world. We want God to continue to use us. We don't know who he is going to send. We don't know where he is going to send people. But we want him to have freedom to say, I know if I ask them, they'll go. Now that could be a simple thing of, I know that if I need you to go and talk to your coworker, you'll be willing to do it. This is not just, I know you'll go to Africa if I ask you to do it. But it's in every little step. Lord, I'm willing. What do you need me to do? How do I demonstrate and show off faith to those around me? But then lastly, we are praying that God will provide the funds for the Life Center. As we said earlier, about two-thirds of this project is already funded. And we firmly believe that this is not something that we're going to go into debt for. At the same time, we don't want it to take 10 years for this project to come into completion. And so we are specifically asking, Lord, we want you to provide the funds in this next year, the rest of the funds that are needed for this Life Center, so that we can begin to use this to be able to minister to others and to accomplish the goals that we have set forth as a church to help people to live and to love like Jesus. So that is our greatest desire. We have no idea what this year will hold. But our hope comes back to this. In the first part of this chapter, this has been our theme verse for this whole thing, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And those things come from a genuine faith and trust in God. Number one, for salvation, but then trusting that what he says really is the best thing for my life. That really what the principles that he lays out are the very best thing for me. And that he will fulfill his promise. One day he is coming back. That he will commit, that he will fulfill the promises that he has. So will you pray these prayers with us this year? Will you be willing to allow God to establish, equip, and expand your faith in him? That is our greatest desire. Because every one of us can be a part of this prayer request. As we get ready to close, I remember there's one instance that I remember that I was walking with somebody in this church through, and we were getting ready to go on a trip. The trip felt a little overwhelming. There were a lot of details that were still not getting sorted out, and I felt really overwhelmed of how is God going to do all that we need him to do in a very short window. So we were just having this discussion, and I said, I don't know, but I feel really uncertain right now. I feel like I'm way out on a limb, and I'm just not sure if it's going to break right now or not when it came to this trip. And as I was just sharing that and that tension that was within me, I'll never forget his response, because it was what kept me going in the midst of it. And he just said, well, I guess if it breaks, we'll both fall. I thought that's really the summation of the body of Christ. The beauty of us together, it's not just this lone individual thing. That together we want God to continue to expand and to grow our faith together. We don't know what this next year will bring, but I'm so grateful that whatever it brings, that we get to go through this together, and that there are other believers that I know care for me, love me, will be there with me, and that I can be the same thing for them no matter what life brings. That is our hope and the sure foundation that we have. Can we trust God and his principles no matter what comes our way? Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to remember what you have done in this last year, to be able to focus on and to come together as a body to figure out, God, where are you taking us? And Lord, with all the uncertainty that we've been going through as a nation around the globe, Father, I pray that this will be a safe place where individuals can come to be encouraged, to be equipped, to be able to live out their faith. And so we pray this year that you will help us to establish, to equip, and to expand our faith, that we would trust in you more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.